Our Father, we thank thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We pray that thou wilt open the Word, help us to lay hold of the truth of it, meet our needs, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God which we are studying together, remembering that we have just begun the study of the book of the Revelation, and we have been presenting to you some introductory matter that we believe you must understand if you are to have the correct foundation upon which to build your study of this book. We have just given you the outline which we believe the Holy Spirit has placed in the book of the Revelation. The outline as it is found in the 19th verse of the first chapter, where John was instructed to write the things which he had seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be after these things. If you keep this little outline in mind, you will notice that the first chapter of the book of the Revelation is a record of the things which John had seen. What was it John had seen before he actually began writing this book? He saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of seven churches. Even though it is referred to as something which John had seen, the subject matter was related to the future as far as John was concerned. And then the second thing you will notice is the things which are. John saw a vision in chapter 1. So chapter 1 is the first part of the outline. The things which are the things which existed in John's day related to the church. And if you are familiar with the book of the Revelation, you will find that description is presented in chapters 2 and 3 of the book. Chapters 2 and 3 of the book of the Revelation are related to the things which are present as far as John was concerned, going on beyond his lifetime into our present day, however, things which are related to the church age. Now, the third division of this book, according to this outline we've given you in the 19th verse, was the things which come after these things, or the things which come after church things. So you are going to find from the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation all the way through to the 22nd chapter, the third part of the outline, and the things which come after church things. I would suggest to you, if you keep this outline very clearly in mind as you read the book of the Revelation, you will always wind up with the futurist interpretation of the book. Now, you will keep in mind the three interpretations we mentioned to you yesterday. The preterist interpretation of the book, the historical interpretation of the book, and the futurist interpretation of the book. We suggest to you that if you follow the outline that we have given to you, you will always wind up with the futurist interpretation of the book of the Revelation. For example, if you are reading something over in the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and you remember that is the third section, that which is dealing with those things which are to come on the earth after the church is gone, you would not make the mistake of thinking that it refers to the Old Testament and the activities that were related to the nation of Israel in Old Testament times. If you read the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation and keep in mind that the 22nd chapter of the book is in the third section, you would never make the mistake of thinking that you are now in the millennium and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has bound the devil and we are living in an era of righteousness and grace. You would see the utter impossibility of such an interpretation of the Word of God. So we go back to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation now, and notice one other thing in this introduction. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it unto his angel and his servant John. The revelation, which is presented in signs and symbols, is presented according to the very definite outline we have mentioned, which will enable you to understand the signs and the symbols. One statement is left in this verse that we are going to take the time to look at tonight. This is the statement right in the middle of the verse where we read, "Things which must shortly come to pass." Let's look at the whole verse and notice its relationship to the entire verse in view of the fact that we have been pursuing for the past several broadcasts the introduction to the book of the Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I say, we want to notice together the phrase, "the things which must shortly come to pass." Somebody said, "Well, now, there you are. John has been dead a long, long time, and he said those things were going to shortly come to pass. So, they must already be fulfilled." He said they would come to pass in a very short time after his lifetime. Well, if that were the meaning of the original word, which is translated shortly, you might have some ground to stand on, if you feel that way. But this word shortly comes from a Greek word which has two meanings, certainty and swiftness. So that if you wanted to put both of those things together, you would say certain swiftness. These things are going to come to pass with certain swiftness. That's the idea. It's not that they were going to soon come to pass in relation to John. It was that they were certainly and swiftly going to come to pass. It wasn't that they were going to come to pass in relation to the history of the seven churches shortly, but it was with a certain swiftness they will come to pass. They would happen with rapid speed after they begin to start. Once again, I say, if you are familiar with the book of the Revelation, you know that is exactly what happened. For no sooner is the seventh seal of the seven-sealed book opened, then the seven angels stand to sound their trumpets. And no sooner is the seventh trumpet sounded, than the angel with the seven bowls of the wrath of God stands to pour out their wrath upon the earth. And it happens so quickly, compressed into a brief period of time, 7 years' duration, as a matter of fact, that a most fantastic drama is presented before your eyes. Because from the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation to the end of the book, practically speaking, comprises a brief period of 7 years. This is the meaning of the phrase, "must shortly come to pass." Now, in other portions of the Word of God, we are told that there are certain signs and symbols whereby we may know that the end of the age is approaching. And we are told that when we see these signs and symbols that indicate the end of the age is approaching, we should lift up our heads and we should know that our redemption draweth nigh. For as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ returns, things are going to happen with lightning-like speed to accomplish the purpose and the plan of God. These things are going to happen with lightning-like speed, there will be no time for the preparation for the coming of the Lord at the end of the age. Therefore, it would be good for every individual to be very familiar with the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about the end of the age, and have his preparation finished and complete before the things begin to come to pass. For mark you, on the basis of this phrase we are considering here at the moment, there will be no time for preparation once these things begin. To describe the swiftness with which these things begin to come to pass, The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of this same thing, said, the people who will be living in that day, when those signs begin to occur, he says to them, if you are on the top of the house, don't take time to come down and get anything out of your house, but flee for your life. There is no time in the house to pack your suitcase and pack your trunk and get ready to leave. When you see these things begin to come to pass, right then, begin to flee for your life. Now we rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has given a promise that we will be saved from the hour of trial that is to come upon the world. But when I say he has given promise, I mean he has given every born-again believer a promise that he will save us from this hour of trial that we will be reading about in the book of the Revelation. And I would encourage you today, if you have placed your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. And if you have not placed your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do that today. Because as we pursue our study of the book of the Revelation, you're going to discover facts which will prove beyond all shadow of any doubt at all that Jesus Christ is coming. And we must be ready for his appearance. I hope you are today.